And just a joy to be in God's house and sing the praises and that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Anything," really spoke to my heart, and I appreciate that. And the song that Brother Dan picked before that one, "The Lily of the Valley," means a lot to me for personal reasons. I remember my mom singing it, and that little hallelujah part. And so what a joy just to be in church. It's wonderful when God touches your own heart. And I remember this, I'm reminding all of us this, all around us, they may or may not get in on what's going on, but don't ever let that stop. When God blesses your heart, you mind the Lord and let Him speak to you and let Him minister to you. It's so good to have missionaries, Brother Bill, Miss Lemoyne Cunningham, right here by the Bryants. Hope you get to see them after the service, and faithful servants of the Lord for these many, many years, and we're thanking God that they're here with us, and I hope you get to meet them after tonight. And then after the invitation, we're going to show that video, and they're working on that, and we'll get to see a little bit more of the trip that Miss Summer was on, and we're thankful for that opportunity. Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14? And I want to preach, as I mentioned this morning, about this subject, watching God work, speaking of missionary trips and missionary journeys and missionaries in general, all of them wanting to see the Lord work. But not only them across the world, but then in our own lives. It's a wonderful thing to watch God work. Oftentimes, unfortunately, we go for great portions of our lives and we don't really see the Lord working, although He is, of course, and He's working in our lives today. He keeps us. The Bible says that He's by Him all things consist. He's keeping things rolling. But I want us to soon get to a place where we realize that God is working all around us. And it's not the fact that He's not working, but oftentimes we're just oblivious. We're not noticing what He's doing. I remember Ron Merrill's an old preacher. He's in heaven now, but he came up the sidewalk of my in-law's house, and he bent down and just sucked in as much as he could on the fragrance of some flowers that were right there by the sidewalk that everybody else was just walking past, not paying any attention. He was kind of an eccentric guy and just really full of life and animation. And he was just saying, "Mrs. Norris, how beautiful the fragrance of those are the same flowers that everybody else walked past. It's just they were busy getting in to do whatever they were doing, getting in to get supper, getting ready to do this, that, and the other." But he just stopped and realized how God blessed in that instant, just to let him take all that in. And I think that same thing needs to happen to all of us, because I believe that you, like me, we rush past so many blessings of God. We're just going on to the next thing, and we forget to look at what God's already given us. And maybe this is as good a day as any on Mother's Day. Whether your mother's here with us or not, maybe we all have gone past the joy that God has put in our lives by giving us a mother. And perhaps you're here, as I mentioned, and you didn't have the best of mothers as far as from a spiritual sense. She wasn't necessarily a great woman of faith. But I challenge you to remember that we give honor to those fit folks, because the Scripture says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And I challenge you to find those things that you can be grateful for and give rightful honor to that position. So, wonderful day of Mother's Day. And as it ties into watching God work, we ought to be grateful and we ought to be on the lookout for what God's doing. I venture to say that God did a lot more in this week that we just spent than we gave Him credit for, because we were speeding by the things to get to the next event. The Bible says in verse number 8, this group of preachers, as we see Paul used of the Lord here, they literally watch God work. Paul and Barnabas are here in the midst of what God is doing. There sat a certain man at Lystra, verse 8 of Acts 14, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Of course, many of you know the rest of the story, and that is, they say, "Well, hold off, we're servants of the Lord, we're not gods, we're not that." But I want to draw our attention to, as these men, in verse number 9, they steadfastly beholding him, perceiving them that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. May we soon get to a place where we notice what the Lord's doing. Now, here was a supernatural work of God. This person had been lame in his feet, and God healed him, and he gave strength to those, gave all that was needed for him to leap and to walk, as it says, though. And he follows on Paul and Barnabas as they, the people around them, start lifting them up, too much so. And I'm not saying that we're going to see all that. We're not starting a healing service. We're not starting those kind of things. But I'm telling you this evening that there is so much that the Lord is doing in our lives that we are not really paying attention to. And I want us to look tonight into the Scriptures and see what we ought to do while we're watching God work. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Give us these next moments for your glory, we pray. And we'll certainly thank you for all that you do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk to a evangelist friend of mine sometime back, and he said, "Brother John," he wasn't bragging, he said, "Brother John," he said, "we've seen God do so many works in our lives and provide so much for us that we really don't anymore worry about him not doing it. We're just looking for the opportunities to praise his name for what he does." George Mueller was a great man of faith. He had an orphanage in Bristol, England, years and years ago. At one time, this true story plays out. 300 orphans sat down for breakfast. And Mueller, if you've heard anything about him from preachers over the years or read some things about him, he was a great man of prayer and he was a great man of faith. Literally sat these orphans down in the orphanage there and prayed for breakfast, knowing that he had nothing to feed them. He prayed and thanked God for what they were going to partake of that very day, knowing in his heart that they didn't have anything to partake of. You wouldn't think this was a true story, but believe me, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. I know that sometimes they creep up on you. I understand. Yeah, I just let it soak in. A knock at the door came. And a baker came to his door and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. I knew somehow that you would need bread, and I baked 3 batches." And so they brought in bread for those kids to eat. Soon, within an hour, another knock at the door, and a milk cart had broken down outside back in the days when daily they would bring that milk along the streets of England. A milk cart had broken down outside, and he wondered if they could use it, and they brought in 10 big cans of milk for this faithful man of prayer and faith. You talk about watching a man, watching God work. That man did, and he was such a man of faith. And you say, "Yeah, but that somehow seems too high for me to attain to." I would submit to you that the good Lord brought us many miracles this past week, as I mentioned, and we just really didn't have the eyesight to see him. And I'm challenging you this morning, or this evening rather, to watch God work in your life and in my life. I want to start doing this more and more, to see the good hand of God in the great things that he's doing. Got Paul and Barnabas got to see God do some of those great things, and one of the accounts are what we just read. But I want to show you a few of the things that were present while they were watching God work. Would you go with me through the Scriptures? Look at verse number 7. Let's see what was the foundation of this great miracle that this man was healed. He, power, strength was brought to his legs, which had not been. Verse number 7, "And there they preached the gospel." Isn't it amazing that at the wonderful working of God, the foundation of that meeting was they were proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. For all those that doubt and wonder, God sometimes tells us twice and sometimes even 3 times. He was empty in his feet. He was being a cripple from his mother's womb. In case some of us slow ones didn't get it, who had never walked. And I'm amazed at how this wonderful interaction, this wonderful thing that happened, was all on the heels of God's word being presented and the gospel being given to people. And so I'm telling you tonight, while we're watching God's word, or watching God work rather, we ought to make God's word central. We ought to make God's word the central focus. And you and I We have a lot of strength on our side when you stand on the Word of God. Let me just tell you something, Christian. It's becoming a lost art, if it's an art. It's becoming a lost art for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christians to stand wholly and firmly upon the Word of God. We have gotten ourselves blown off track. We have gotten ourselves blown off the foundation. And sometimes we rely on everything else. But there was a day, and that day needs to be again in our hearts tonight, that we stand firmly on the Word of God, and we say, I believe it because the Word of God says it. The Word of God needs to be central in our hearts. Do you remember when people used to put it on their houses, in their house, when you went down the hallway of different people's houses? There would have a verse, maybe, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, which is what my mom had up in one of our, in the living room there. Maybe it's that person that had it out in their yard on a sign that said whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We understand that Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, you write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Whether you do that or not, we certainly ought to build our lives, our family, upon the Word of God. Are you saying, John, that that's what made this person healed? Well, God's the one that healed this person, but it's amazing that the whole encounter was built on the foundation of the Word of God being given, the gospel. George Mueller, that I told you about, had more than 10,000 children come through his orphanage over the years. When they reached the age that they would leave, he would pray with them, put a Bible in their right hand and a coin in their left hand. He would explain to them, if you hold on to what's in your right hand, God will make sure there's something in your left as well. What was he trying to teach them? That this in the right hand is more important than this in the left hand. And my friend, we need to be reminded tonight, and I believe that that's why the Lord sent me here tonight, to tell you that sometimes we get ourselves too concerned about what's in this hand and not what's in this hand. In this occasion that I just read to you, when the man was healed that was impotent in his feet, the whole scenario was started when the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented. I see, first of all, they made the Word of God central. We're watching God work tonight, and they made the Word of God central. But then look in verse number 9 and 10. I see not only did they make the Word of God central, but they also watched and expected God to work. Have you ever got yourself so far out on a limb that if God didn't do something, you were in big trouble? Maybe you knew God was leading in a business venture. You knew God leads in that. He doesn't just lead in church. He leads in what you're supposed to do for business, what job you're supposed to take, what this. He leads in all of it. He's interested in everything that you do. There's no little things. You say, I hate to go to God with that little thing. You understand, to an all-powerful God, nothing's big, nothing's small. It's all equal footing for Him. So He's worried about your job just as much as He's worried about my job. Have you ever gotten so consumed with something that you forgot when you got to it that you were supposed to pray? Look at what they did in verse number 9. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. Now it's getting down to the nitty gritty. Now it's getting down to where they're really going to go out on that limb that I asked you about. This is where it's really going to get it down to where they're going to put their reputation on the line. This is where it's getting down to where they're either going to fish or cut bait. They're either going to go forward or get back. They're going to put themselves, they're going to put their reputation on the line. And then he says, stand upright on thy feet. I said, not only did they make the Word of God central, but they also watched and expected God to work. Paul was watching the dealings of God on this man, and he said to them, after he perceived that he had faith to be healed, isn't it interesting? He said, when he perceived that he had faith to be healed, he said, arise, stand upright. Now, I hate to admit it to you as your pastor, but there's many times that really I'm oblivious and I'm not engaged in watching for what the Lord's going to do. Isn't our human nature a funny, fickle thing? But it's the truth. But I'm challenging you tonight. that all of us need to be taking this week and be looking and expecting God to do some big things in our lives. You say, I don't have much opportunity to speak up for the Lord. Maybe we weren't looking for opportunities to speak up for the Lord. You say, I don't ever get to talk to I hear those evangelists come through, and sometimes they'll talk about even leading somebody to Christ outside of a restaurant. Maybe it's that we're not looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. You say, well, I hear those old stories about people when God swooped in and did something wonderful in their lives, but I don't ever see that. Perhaps it's if we're not watching and expecting and waiting and looking for the Lord to do something. The Bible says in Psalm 121:1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence come with my help. It's time once again that we expect our help to come from the Lord and we watch Him work. I would submit to you tonight that God's doing a lot more in your life than you're giving credit for. That's not an indictment on you. That's an indictment on us. I read a story of a traveler in southeastern France. He was told to climb a certain hill, and as he climbed that certain hill, they told him, you can see the Alps several miles away. He said this, I can't see, quote, all I can see is the mist rising from the plains. And his guide, as it were, told him to look higher. He said, it doesn't matter from here hardly how high you look. You ought to be able to see the Alps. And then as he looked higher above that mist that was coming from those plains, he could see the peaks of those beautiful mountains, the white peaks of those Alps. And he said, there they are. And I'd like to make an application for us tonight. When we see all of the mist rising from the plains in our lives, and we look around and we see all the chaos, and we see all the things that we don't really understand, I'm going to give you the same advice that that tour guide gave that, or that mountain guide gave that fellow looking for the Alps. I'm going to tell you the same thing. Look higher. It could be that we're looking too low. We're looking too horizontal. We need to look a little vertical. Could be the reason we're not seeing the great victories in our lives is we're looking for them to come from here, and they're going to come from here. I say this evening that you ought to not only make God's Word central in your life, stand upon it, the Word of God. It will never fail you. Stand upon it. It'll be the rock underneath of you. Stand upon it. It will never crumble. Not only make the Word of God central, but then watch and expect God to work. As that mountain guide told that person, look higher. We've got our gaze set too low. We're worried about our salary or our boss or our pension or our worldly wisdom or the counsel from other people around us. But instead, let's watch and expect God to work. Number three, let me give you this one. Not only did they make the Word of God central, but they also watched and expect God to work. But look in verse 15. We didn't read down that far, but I'll fill in the gaps. In verse 13, the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying. Verse 15 is our next text, saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. I give you this last one. If you're taking notes, give all glory to God when He works. I'm wondering if the Lord doesn't do some things in our lives because He knows who would try to take credit for it. But my friend, when God does something, you ought to be the first one to say, inwardly or outwardly, depends on the situation, praise the Lord. Amen. If we're going to watch the Lord work, then what should be our natural response after He does work? Praise the name of our Lord. O thou that hearest prayer, the Bible says, unto thee shall all flesh come. All flesh will come to Him. And we ought to get a head start on that. Let's hit the altar, whether you hit this altar or not, it's immaterial. But every day and meet the Lord. I'm going to predict that there's a lot of great things going to happen tomorrow to you. You say, how can you know that? Well, if you wake up, then God gave you breath for another day. You say, yeah, but what if I don't wake up? If you're a Christian, that's the best day of your life. It'll be a little rough on your family, but it'll be the best day of our lives. But regardless of how, I know what we'll be doing if heaven's our home tomorrow. we'll be praising our Savior. All I'm trying to get us to do is get a head start on what we will be doing when we get there. Some people say, I don't think I could raise holy hands. Well, that's all right. You will one of these days. So, I don't think I could ever be a, praise the Lord. That's all right. You'll get there. And all of us are different. I'm just being whimsical about that. But I am telling us, whether you one that blurts it out or whether you just know it in your heart, praise the Lord for what He's done. Give all glory to God when He does a great work. So how do we live and have our being? By God's goodness. How do we have blessings on our family? God's goodness. How do we get some of the difficult times that He allows to come our way? His goodness. How do I get my life back on track? His goodness. With all that the Lord has done, we need to give Him glory. Gone are the days when I take credit for what goes on. Gone are the days when we say, I was pretty good at that, wasn't it? Gone are the days when we say, that business of mine's going well. Gone are the days when we say, look at this house, what I built. Gone are the days when we say, I made a lot of good decisions. That's how this happened. Gone are the days when we brag about what we did and how we made it and how we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps and how we did this and that. Gone are those days. Instead, let them be replaced by the days when somebody says, what a beautiful house, that we look and we say, God's been good to me. Amen. Give God glory for all that He's done. God doesn't want us to go for years in between the times that we notice His handiwork. Maybe that means tomorrow on your drive to work, you need to shut the radio off, shut a podcast off or everything else, and just look at the beauty that we get to live around. And you can say, my God did that. My God did that. Maybe it's that you need to take time this week just to pull apart from everything else and step into your family and walk through your house like you were walking into it for the first time. And when you flip on that light switch, you say, that's the blessing of God. When you look at the family pictures that are on the wall, you say, that's the blessings of God. When you get to have indoor plumbing, you say, that's the blessings of God. When you get to have heat and air that you can adjust whatever the weather calls for, you can say, that's the blessings of God. Because we could have been born someplace, that none of those were a reality in our lives. Watching God work. First of all, they made the Word of God central. And I'm challenging you tonight to make it central in your life again. Does this book really mean as much as it ought to us? I'm challenging you, if you're convicted in your heart right now, you say, I hate to say it, but I haven't been in as much as I could. I could take it or leave it. May it never be said to us as Christians that we could take it or leave it. May you say, I can't leave it. I've got to take it and I've got to put it in here. You say, I don't know all about it. I don't know all about it either. That's why God keeps bringing us back to it. But we ought to build our lives and make the Word upon the Word of God and make it central. And then watch and expect God to work this week. You be on the lookout for good things that God is doing. And then when He brings them to pass, you say, praise His name for what He's done. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help each and every one of us to be on the lookout for what You're doing. Lord, I believe there's probably some people in this room, because I know I've been guilty, oblivious to what You're doing. I believe, dear Lord, there's some people in this room that they haven't been watching for You to work. They've just been taking for granted all that You've done in their lives. Lord, I pray that as Mueller told those thousands of kids that came through and put a Bible in their right hand, I pray that we would, as that old man would have told them back in the day, you pay attention to what's in the right hand, and God will make sure that enough things are in the left hand. And Lord, I pray that we would grab our Bibles and we would make sure that we hold on to what's in our right hand. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us to be on the lookout for God's working in our lives this week. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the instrumentalists begin to play? If God's speaking your heart, I challenge you to come. Brother Daniel, the assistant pastor, be in front of the pulpit. And perhaps you've been taking for granted all that God's been doing in your lives, in your life. But tonight, God has convicted you in that and has shown you that you need to be praising Him for what He's done. I challenge everybody in this room to do what the old song says. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I'm not just speaking figuratively. I'm challenging each of you sometime this week to start going through your mind, what has God blessed me with? And I think, like the hymn writer said, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Folks, there's none of us in this room that are short on blessings. Oh, there's people in this room, you've gone through hard times this past year. You've lost some of the dearest people to you. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You've had some of the most difficult times in your life, but you've held on to the promises where Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You've had some of the most difficult times financially, but God has reminded you that true riches are the family that you're blessed to live with. Let's once again put our lives built upon the book. Let's watch for God to work, and let's praise Him for what He does. If you're here tonight, you need to pray. The altar's open for you. Let me give this other part of the invitation. If you're here tonight while they're playing and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I didn't preach on that, but the Bible is very clear that there's only one way to heaven, and it's not this church, nor is it any other church, but it's only through Jesus Christ. But this church has been built for these 240 some years upon preaching the message that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you're here and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, heaven's your home, and you'd like somebody to talk to you about that from the Bible, I challenge you to slip to the nearest aisle and just come down to the front. Maybe you have some other spiritual need on your heart tonight. You'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you'd love to come present yourself for that, then Brother Daniel's right here in front. Maybe you need to be baptized. Lord willing, we'll see somebody follow Christ in baptism this Wednesday night. I challenge you, number one, to come back and see it. But number two, if you're saved but you've never been baptized, wouldn't you join that one? Thank you so much. You may look this way. We're going to show the video of Miss Summer, and maybe God worked out this way for a reason. After the service, I'm going to ask her to move to the lobby and let you thank her for service for the Lord, and then you get to see this, and then also let her know you'll be praying for her as the Lord takes her back down Chattanooga and just makes the next steps clear in her life. And so we're going to let you be seated. If you need to slip out, I know we're right at time of our usual departure. If you need to slip out, we understand, but other than that, we're going to see this now.
Fire. God, now stop.
Praying for summer and for the Lord's leadership in her life. And I'm thinking several things as you watch that. Number one, we're awful spoiled for all that we have. And they call those things wonderful conveniences over there. And we have so much in the least of where we're at than what they have. And so we're grateful for the gospel, though. The gospel is the same regardless of where it's at. And we're thankful for Summer's willingness to go and serve the Lord there. So I want us not only, we of course voted some months ago, whenever it was, to support Summer from our mission program. And we're certainly glad to do that. But more than that, she needs our prayers and our interest in what she's doing. And so I want us to stay up to date on where she's at, what she's doing as the Lord makes these needed preparations for her to go full force and get over there. So once you make sure that we make a commitment as a church family to pray behind her, because that's what she desperately needs. Would you stand together? I'm going to ask Summer to slip out to the lobby, and you can assure her of your prayers as you slip out and maybe get to speak to her. Such a joy to be in church tonight again. We're glad that you're in the house of the Lord. It's so good to see everybody that's here. It's good to see Elizabeth Farmer and Andrew back there, and there's others. Elizabeth home from West Coast, so she graduated, and she's finished up out there, and we're thankful for that, but it's so good to see each of you. See many guests this morning, and thank you for inviting people. Thank you, as I mentioned, you moms that twist arms of your adult children. God bless you. Thank you for doing that, having them in church this morning. Thanks for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed.